Everyone has a story. Everyone travels a road. Some of those roads are paved, some are gravel, some are a combination. Some are superhighways. Some of us have met with sharp turns, intersections, and delays. We travel at different speeds to different destinations. On this podcast, we talk about your road to now. Welcome to Your Road to Now. And our guest today is Ron Cannon. Born in the City of Champions. Is that correct?
At a very young age, yes.
At a very young age. When did you come to Kelowna?
30 years ago this month, we bought our home in Kelowna.
Wow. Maybe give us a little kind of rundown of who Ron Cannon is.
The youngest of four boys, grew up in Edmonton, raised hockey community, loved all kinds of sports, and after high school, went to Nate, graduated from business administration, majored in marketing.
I went to Nate.
You went to Nate. Great school.
I went to Nate, yeah. Well, I did the business administration diploma and then did the advanced accounting, accelerated accounting program, and then the CMA.
I played hockey in the intramural team, and we beat Sate Ookpicks, took the bus down there and had the big road trip. That was great. So I was the goalie. I was the youngest of the four boys, so they put Ron in net and shoot pucks at me.
Oh, the goalie, man. That's a tough one. My son was a goalie.
That explains
tough
right.
Position.
Well, it is, but it's lots of fun. So.
Then you're in Kelowna, and what happened in Kelowna? Like, how did, like, you were working at, was it Shaw?
Well, yeah, actually, we came to Kelowna, knew, I think, two people, had a realtor show us around a bunch of homes. We ended up getting this house under construction. It was listed at 139.9. I had my wife negotiate it. We got it for 142.5. So if you need a good negotiator, call Cindy. It was like, how did you do that?
Not buying much in Kelowna for 139.9 anymore.
No, but it was listed at 139. You paid 142 for it. Anyhow, of course, you got a few
extra. Well, it's a bargain today,
though. That's right. It was a bargain today. And it was the best thing. You know, it's taken me 35 plus years to listen to my wife. But hey, it's been proven to great success. And
so you arrived here when? What year?
January of 1990 is when we bought our home. It was under construction, and we had to finish the home by something called fax. They didn't have internet at the time, fax and phone. So we completed the build, moved here in March of 90, and didn't have a job, nothing, just knew a couple of people. Did some landscaping. Like, we came here in January 1990, and there was no snow on the ground. It was above freezing. I said, what are we doing living in Edmonton other than celebrating, you know?
The Oilers.
You know, yeah, four Stanley Cups, four Great Cups, you know, whatever, five, whatever it was. It was a great time to move. Unfortunately, my mom passed away suddenly at a young age of 60, and I had lots of incidents in the family. So we just decided to start new, and it was a great time to move here. We had two children. A third daughter, Amy, was born later that year in 1990. And I had a phone call was received a couple of weeks after we moved here from a guy that was our representative for a insurance company out of Edmonton, where I worked for a large GM dealership, an assistant business manager, helping with the leasing and financing. This gentleman said that, well, the owner of the dealership in Vernon needs a business manager. So I put a proposal together and ended up working for the Hyundai and the Chrysler store in Vernon. I commuted back and forth about the first year or so, and was in the auto industry. And then a little store was going to open up in Kelowna, which I was aware of, and it's called Costco. So I was hired as their marketing rep, helped set up Kelowna and Kamloops, and they wanted me to travel more, and we had a third child, and I said, no, I didn't want to travel anymore. I worked in the warehouse. Great company, but I didn't like being confined in a warehouse, so then I went to work for the Daily Courier newspaper. I sold television or radio print advertising, and then I was sold print with them for 4.5 years, and then television advertising after that.
And then when did politics show up in your life? Like, and why politics?
That's a good question. I never really had any aspirations going down the road of politics. My mom and dad were very active in the community. We lived in a smaller community in Edmonton, and they always said, you know, I got to get involved and stay involved in the community. So that was part of the participation. And then in 1996, I got a buyout from the newspaper. And I played drums in a band for years and wanted to go down to Nashville and Memphis and So we took the motor home and drove down there in 96. It was the summer of 96, came back about a month later, and there's a message in my answering machine. These guys wanted me to get together and consider running for city council. So I said, well, what do you have to do? And said, well, you know, you've got to just dress like Robert Hobson and talk like him, and you'll get elected.
So that was in 1996.
Yeah, Robert always topped the polls, and he was actually turned out to be a great mentor, a very wise individual, and learned lots from Robert over the years. And so fortunately, there's 27 people that ran for city council, and was got elected in 96, and basically put that three-year term as kind of an education, full-time on council, and a minimum salary. The mayor was Walter Gray.
Walter Gray. Yeah. You ran for three terms and were successful for three terms.
Yeah, and all 9 years with Walter. Great leader of our community. Wonderful mentor. To learn lots from Walter as well. And we had a great team for 9 years. And then I got a phone call of March of 2005, and they said Werner Schmidt, the MP for the area, was retiring, and the Conservative Party wanted me to put my name for it for the nomination.
Well, let's not jump ahead yet, though.
Yeah, I just
let's. What's the biggest accomplishments that you think of when you did 9 years for the city council here? What are you most proud of in those 9 years?
That's an excellent question as well. I look back as far as seeing things on paper and then in completion. One of the, I think, beautiful developments in our community is Wilden, and I got to know the developer at the time. Actually, I voted against one proposal because I was trying to get the density transfer to preserve some of the natural area, and ended up becoming friends, and we built up there a few years ago. I think it's a beautiful part of the community. But specifically from on the Parks Committee, something that I was really excited about, coming from Edmonton, I used to make the outdoor ice when I was going to high school and college. It was a post-secondary. It was a good part-time job, and it allowed me flexibility and good paying. So I loved the outdoors, and I said outdoor skating. And when I was in the Parks Committee, Joe Curran, who's deputy city manager now, was the parks manager, and he came from Edmonton as well. And I said, Joe, why can't we have an outdoor skating rink in Kelowna? And people said, oh, you can't do it. It's too warm. So my wife and I were down in San Francisco on holidays, and they had a downtown San Fran, they had an outdoor skating rink. And I came back and said, well, they got one in San Francisco. It's warmer there than here. Why can't we have one here? And what we have now is the Jim Stewart Park, which is a fantastic park.
That's one of the nicest facilities in Kelowna, I think.
I think the only thing we did was didn't make it bigger. We could have made it even bigger. Mm-hmm. Prospera Place or the P3 partnership with RG Property was a legacy for the province, is one of the leading partnerships. Andre Blondley was instrumental in helping put that together with Walter Gray. And the Hamilton family have been, the investment in our community, believing in our community, it's another great legacy.
And then the airport at that time, was it an international airport?
No. Roger Selleck at the time, he led the way, paved the way, and it was with our MLAs, and Al Horning was the MP at the time. We got federal funding, provincial funding, and then it is now, the economic engine helps drive the whole Thompson Okanagan community.
Yeah, and that and the UBCO.
UBCO was March 17th, 2004, when Gordon Campbell announced we're going to have UBCO Okanagan, and a year later it opened up, and today it's 10,000 plus students, and it's another big driving force.
Two great resources for Kelowna, two big draws.
Well, and the college. I mean, they were worried they're going to, they're, I think, great synergies between the two of them.
Anything you wish you would have done differently when you were on council for those 9 years? Anything that you guys, would have just done that? Or
transportation, I wish we would have, I wanted to push highway, the Clement extension through. That was something that we had pushed for. And at that time, it was $0.50 in 1996. We could have got it for, and people said, "Well, no, it was too expensive." And now we have this corridor that I think we own the railroad corridor, and I think there's some exciting things that can happen with that. I'm kind of keen on maybe looking at some sort of rail transportation network down the road and connecting Highway 33 through. There's some really exciting things that still can be happened, but that was one. Transportation has always been something that I think we can do a better job of planning here.
So you did a three-peat, and you probably could have won your fourth. Probably been fairly easy. You were one of the more popular councillors. But you decided to take a different turn. You were starting to talk about Werner Schmidt.
Yeah, so the March of 2005, I got a call that Werner was going to retire and asked if I would put, the Conservative Party asked me to put my name forward. I said, I don't belong to a political party. I've never really belonged to any political party. What do you have to do? And they said, well, you have to sign up members and get them to come out and support you in the nomination. So the nomination was at KSS, at a big meeting of about 2,000 people or so showed up. Actually, the day that I announced, I was going to pick up Norm Letnick, a friend of mine. We were going to go for a hike up to Knox Mountain. And I said to Norm, I've been asked to run for MP. And Norm says, well, I want to run for MP. I said, why don't you run for mayor? I said, no, Walter's a good mayor. I'm not going to run for mayor. So he ran for the nomination. And I said, okay, I'll get my supporters to mark you number two. And he did the same for me. And fortunately, I came in first. He came in second. He came on, became the MLA. And Ben Stewart became third, and he became an MLA. So we had a lot of, you know, history of working together.
So you were the successful candidate for the Conservative Party, and then in the election, you won that seat.
January of 2006, yeah, it was a more memorable event in the sense you get elected and now go to Ottawa and try to, it's like a deer in the headlights. It's all whole new world there.
It's been exciting, though.
It went by so fast, the transition period and over all those years. And my wife and I have looked back and talked about some fantastic memories, the people we've met, and opportunities I had that I never would have dreamed of my whole life.
And not to take anything away from, you know, Kelowna City Council, but kind of like playing on a farm team, all of a sudden you make the bigs. And there you are in Ottawa.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because in 1999 we did another family trip in the motorhome. We went across Canada. We stopped in Ottawa, and I was able to talk to the security guys. I got the motorhome on Ottawa. Today, you can't even barely walk in there with this, all these people, the guns and everything. So my wife laughs about that. And anyhow, we had a fantastic time. We got in a tour of the Parliament buildings, and I can remember sitting in the Member of Parliament's chair, and I think, wow, this is like the big leagues, you know, and I handed my card off, and it's like that. You're going from the farm team to the pros, and fortunately, a few years later, I was there.
And that's amazing. And you did another three-peat. So you're the three-peat guy.
The three-peat. Pete, and repeat, yeah.
So what are some of the big moments there, 2006, 2008, 2011? So well, 9 years?
Yeah, and it was, like I said, the first while I was just trying to figure out where the washroom is. It's, so much information overload. It's like drinking out of a fire hose, as the expression goes. And once again, you get settled in, and I guess the mentorship I had from Stockwell Day, working together with him locally, it was great. And a couple of, you know, things we lobbied for initially with the passport office, and that was great to have that. But I remember the lobbied hard with Minister Peter McKay at the time. He's the minister responsible for passport offices, and his ministry announced that we're going to have an office open in Kelowna. We had a meeting in my office in Ottawa with all the staff and preparing for the announcement. And I said, well, when will they be opening this passport office? He said, about 2 years. I said, what? It takes 2 years to build a... One guy said, we built a military base in Afghanistan in 4 months, and it takes 2 years to build a passport office. But anyway, that was I learned the speed of government. There's two speeds, glacier slow and reverse.
So while you were serving as a member of parliament, the prime minister was it Mr. Harper?
Yeah.
For all three terms?
Stephen Harper, yeah.
And then how was that first moment meeting the prime minister? Had you met him before that? Or?
Actually, I met him in December of 2005 during the campaign. He flew in, had a phone call from the campaign team, National Party, their planning team, and said, well, Mr. Harper and entourage might be here tomorrow, but he could also be going to Castlegar, so get your team on standby. The morning came, and we found out that he was going to go to Castlegar, so everybody went their separate ways. About 45 minutes later, we get a phone call. If anybody's ever tried to fly into Castlegar,
<That's right.
laughs> it's got a nickname.
So fly in July and August.
That's right. They get that window of opportunity. And so they said, we're coming back to Kelowna. So we got our group together and rent a crowd and get everybody together and rallied. And that was the first time I met Stephen Harper. It was great. And we had decade of
history. What's your biggest memory with him?
Just flying to Seoul, Korea to sign the free trade agreement with Korea, 2014.
And he's quite the humorous guy, though, isn't he? He's kind of a comedian a bit.
In caucus, it was hilarious. And every Wednesday we would meet. So our BC caucus, that's all the BC MPs, the conservatives, would get together for an hour and a half, talk about provincial issues. And then the national caucus would get together with all the senators as well. And we talk about kind of the business of the week and what's coming up down the future. But he would have all kinds of stories and what happened with his perspective of situations, you know, meeting with Putin and imitations. He was a good impersonator.
So is there a kind of like a favorite moment, like while you were serving at all? Or,
well, I've always enjoyed working in the community. I've connected with people, and helping people was what my passion. And so I couldn't have done it without great staff. I had both in Ottawa and locally here, and they helped a lot of people with. And even today, I get people stopping me in the streets of different places I go to, and I remember you helped me, and you know, we became citizens at such and such a time, or helped with immigration or files. And so those are really, you know, satisfying from helping others. From, like I said, the passport office, we got the four-laning of Highway 97, were big accomplishments. The announcement for the Innovation Center, a couple of big ones. That was the last kind of partnership we had with the city and the province working together. There's several other ones with, you know, whether it's transport, environment. We invested in upgrades of recreational facilities. And I just was honored and privileged to have that opportunity. And like I said, the time flew by so quickly, and it's a great team effort and a wonderful community to call home.
And then a tough day in 2015.
You mean the
election?
The election.
Yeah.
Well, it depends who you talk to. My wife, she's pretty happy.
She was like, "That's good. You get a break."
Yeah. So it was, you know, I knew it was going to be challenging. The fact that the Green Party didn't run a candidate, and they were, for them, it was a good strategy, and they worked together with the Liberals. And you know, 2006 and 2008, 2011 continued to grow our percentage lead, and we knew that we had a lot more difficulty in the sense when I was door knocking, people say, "Yeah, we like what you're doing," but didn't like Stephen Harper. It was time for change, and the people voted for change. So that's democracy.
So what's the future now? Like, what's the road ahead?
Well, you know, post politics has been, I've been blessed in so many ways. I never anticipated the opportunity that presented itself. Interior Savings Credit Union approached me to do 6-month trial pilot project as their business relationship manager. And I've been there 3.5+ years now, and I'm just a great community organization and privileged to be with them. I went back to university, got my Institute of Corporate Director designation. So we have a local chapter. I sit as a director on the local board, volunteer with the chamber. I helped set up the foundation, the Kelowna Foundation for Hope and Social Innovation. And we just, over the last couple of years, worked to get the Child Advocacy Center for children that have been abused. So we continue to work in the community, volunteer in different hats and play drums.
I see you everywhere.
Once in a while.
And you also you drive at night.
Yeah, my friend Paul Nesbitt, Nesbitt Originals, great guy. He's, when I was a member of parliament, I was concerned with the number of people that were being fatalities from impaired driving. So Mothers Against Drunk Driving were lobbying to decrease the blood alcohol to 0.05. And we thought, well, what can we do to help reduce the fatalities? And Paul came up with this great idea. I got a group of dads together. It's called Designated Driver Dads. So we go out between Friday and Saturday night, between around 12:30 till 3 or 4. And I was out till 4 in the morning this Saturday driving people home. So we take their car home, and then another vehicle follows, and it's just by volunteer donation, get them home safe, and knock on wood, we've been 10+ years in operation. Wow. And haven't
that's
had a fatality. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, thanks to all the volunteer dads, and especially Paul Nesbitt. Big kudos to Paul.
Wow. So let's do a little quick fire, because we're going to wrap up here.
Fingers on your buzzers. Okay.
I only paid for 29 minutes, I think.
There you go.
So, favorite place to dine in Kelowna?
Favorite? Well, there's so many great ones.
Oh, you got to pick one, though. Not to say anybody else isn't as good, but Is there some place you'd like to go?
Well, it depends what kind of mood you're in, but I don't know. We went to...
Well, let's do it this way.
We went to Rod's the other day, and, you know, it was anniversary special, depending on the occasion. Summerhill Winery. Summerhill's got, you know, Chef Jeremy does some... It's got a fantastic menu up there as well.
So you've been to a lot of restaurants.
Lots of restaurants, yeah.
And winery? Favorite winery? Favorite wine? You get yourself in trouble here.
There you go, yeah. Well, I actually been doing some work with Summerhill Winery, and we got an exciting... application in for culinary college coming pretty quick here. So it's going to be really, I think, another legacy for Kelowna. But, you know, the wine industry, I had the honor of being the co-chair of the wine caucus. I know it was a tough job, but somebody had to step up and do it, you know, in Ottawa. So I got to meet lots of vintners. And, I mean, I remember Anthony Von Mondel when I was in city council. He came forward with these unveiling of these bells he had. We had this unveiling at the art gallery, and this guy... talking about this winery he's going to build, and wow, we thought, what's going on here? Because, you know, cannabis wasn't legal yet, and, you know, what's he smoking? And it's like, oh. And, you know, anybody knows Anthony, he's an incredible visionary guy, and he pulled it off. And it's
quite the place.
It is phenomenal. It's a landmark. Anybody, you know, you showcase, you're proud.
We can see it from here, actually.
Yeah, right from the 16th floor, Landmark 6.
Book that you recommend somebody read.
The Bible.
The Bible.
You know, it's a guide for life.
Greatest story ever told.
Whether of you I want to follow it or not, it's good instructions for life.
Movie. The movie that you watched over and over again.
I'm a good driver. My dad lets me drive in the driveway. Dustin Hoffman and Rain Man.
Nice. If somebody is to play in a movie, who's going to play you? Like, who do you want?
Who do I want? Oh. Boy, oh boy, I don't know. There's some pretty good actors out there, but of course, what was my wife going to say? I don't know. I have to ask her.
I'm thinking Clint Eastwood. Maybe.
Clint Eastwood, yeah.
Maybe Burt.
Al Pacino, yeah. First you get the money, then you get the power. That was Scarface.
Advice that you give 20-year-old you?
That's...
If you could go back and say, hey, Ron, let's do this.
Three things in life. I always say it's your integrity. I mean, that's something you can control. Your relationships. Remember your relationships. You know, the fact that I say the community is small, the world is small. Don't burn your bridges. And communications. Doesn't matter if it's with your parents, your spouse, your best friends. Be, you know, clear communications. And that's, I think, most of all, yeah, unconditional love.
What's getting you up in the morning? What's exciting you? Like, what's like really like, oh my God, I want to do this. I feel so excited.
My spin bike.
Nice.
Yeah, get up 5:30 or 6. No, I got, you know, I've been blessed with three beautiful daughters, and I got five grandkids. My youngest from 3, oldest is going to be 13 this year. And each of my daughters are unique and special in their own ways, and their son-in-laws. And I have youngest daughters in Regina, at Depot, becoming an RCMP officer. So I'm excited, really proud of each of them for their accomplishments. And that's with grandkids is a great legacy to be able to get up and try to make a positive difference in the world.
What scares you right now in the world? Like, what are you worried about?
Social media, how it's really changed the world, and the instantaneous how people jump to conclusions without all the information. It's
a lot of judgment.
Yeah. Very on never let the facts get in the way of a good story. You know what I mean? And we need to talk to people and share in person our feelings rather than hiding behind a little piece of technology. And that was one of the things that when I was a member of Parliament, people would contact me, they'd send an email and you could tell they're really upset. But if I phoned them and talk to them a lot of times. Ah, yeah. Gave them the information. I didn't realize that. And just sometimes a little bit of information could be harmful.
So that's been your road to now. There's a lot of road in front of you. So I thank you for taking the time today to let other people know what your road to now is. And again, thank you.
Life is a highway. I want to ride it all night long.
There you go.
There we go. Tom Cochran.
You're similar to Nicholas, actually. He played the drums and was a goalie.
Yeah, so let's still continue to... I mean, every day is a new day, and I just said, live every day to its fullest. Life is short, and live it well. Some people say nothing's impossible, and I do nothing every day.
I do have one last question. What do you see Kelowna in 20 years? Like, what do you see out there? Like, what do you see for innovation, technology? Like, what the community looks like?
I think it's so exciting to see the future here. And, you know, look back, the 30 years I've been here, how it's changed dramatically. And some people will say, well, not necessarily for the better. But I look at, you know, some of the densification. I see some of the challenges of, as mentioned, transportation. But I really think we're growing into a community that it's not too big, but it has a lot of the amenities of a larger city.
Small town feel, big city amenities.
Yeah, and I still like the, you know, it used to be 7 degrees of separation here. It's about 1.5. I love it.
Flying cars?
Flying
cars? Self-driving cars?
Well, I know there's self-parking ones already out. I just saw an ad this yesterday for that one. But, I've seen some people, probably it's not a bad idea to, my wife really likes the self-assisting parallel parking, so.
Yeah, they say when 5G rolls out, we'll see automation show up in the vehicles for sure.
But obviously there's, you know, the world's gotten smaller with, I was on the International Trade Committee for almost 10 years, and I just see the instantaneous communication, obviously with the coronavirus right now is a, you know, it could be like SARS, hopefully they get it under control, and it's how quickly things can change. And I say the world's not falling apart, it's falling right in place.
There you have it. That's been Ron Cannon on The Road to Now.
If you'd like to be part of this podcast, we'd love to share your story and your road to now.